الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين وقال تعالى فاعتبروا يا أولي الأبصار صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. The opening ayat of Surah Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the occasion when the Jews were banished from Medina Munawwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that He was the one who allowed the Jews to be banished and how they had lost whatever wealth, whatever properties, whatever homes they had built for themselves in Medina Munawwara. And after explaining this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives a very important command and says, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, that O people of intelligence, O intelligent ones, draw a lesson, that take lesson from this incident of the Jews. That at one point in time, they were the rulers of Medina Munawwara. They were the ones who controlled the wealth of Medina Munawwara. But then a time came when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unleashed His adab upon them. And at the hands of the Muslims and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they were punished and then banished from Medina Munawwara. But then this is a very important command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, that O people of intelligence, that draw lesson, take lesson from the various events that take place and occur around you. And the crisis in Gaza is nothing uncommon to each one of us. That for almost 3 months on end, our Muslim brothers and sisters are suffering. And it is indeed a tragic moment for the entire ummah. But looking at this at the crisis under the scope of this ayat of فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, that take lesson, O people of intelligence, that though they may be undergoing difficulty and hardship, but at the same time, we need to introspect and look within our lives, that compare our lives to the lives that they are living, that how much more hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us in every aspect of life. That we, more particularly the South Africans, that generally we have the tendency of complaining. And this is something obviously that has crept in the entire society. That if you look at length throughout the country because of the poor service delivery that we experience, so every person has some complaint or the other. But then this tendency of complaining that we have created within ourselves has made us become oblivious of all the favors that we enjoy from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That yes, we may be also experiencing some type of shortfall, some type of shortage in various aspects of life. But we cannot become blind to the fact that we enjoy multitudes and billions of favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the security, that if we have to compare the security that we enjoy compared to our brothers and sisters in Gaza, where they do not feel any type of security for even a single night, that whether they will wake up the next morning alive or not, whether their homes will be bombarded or not, whether they will return back home after just going to a shop to purchase some items and find their families alive or find their homes flattened. This is something that we will never experience at all in our lives. Shortage of food, shortage of water, shortage of medication. So all these things, if we have to take them into account, then definitely each one of us will be able to confess and confirm that we are falling extremely behind when it comes to gratitude and shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That every morning, through the mercy and through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to wake up with ease, with comfort, with the joy and happiness of our family members around us. What a great ni'mat, what a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't this? And this is the weak point of insan, which shaitan had pointed out from the very first day that he was banished from Jannah. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had banished shaitan from Jannah, because of his refusal to prostrate and make sajda before Adam alayhi salam, so shaitan then vowed and took a pledge and told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, that I will obstruct the path of progress for insan, whether from in front, from behind, from the right, from the left. I will cover him from all directions just to deter and to stop his progress in deen. And then shaitan explained the weak point of insan, that وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, that, oh Allah, you will find, or you will not find most of them to be grateful. That is, a very small part of the ummah will be grateful unto you, O Allah, and majority will be ungrateful. And this itself Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complains of in another ayat of the Quran Majid, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, that very few of my servants are grateful and express their gratitude unto me. And this is what lesson we need to take home, what we need to instill within our lives, within our hearts. The lesson of shukr, the lesson of gratitude. That if this is something that we instill within our lives, then definitely life will become more enjoyable. There will be more meaning to life. There wouldn't be any reason for us to complain for a single minute, for a single moment in life. If we have to just compare ourselves to those who are lesser privileged than ourselves, to those who suffer much greater difficulties than ourselves, then most definitely every moment of our lives will have to be spent in shukr and gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak life from birth right till death was filled with difficulties and hardships. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this dunya without the care of his father Abdullah. At the age of 6, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his honorable mother. At the age of 8, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost the care of his grandfather. And then the hardships and difficulties of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just prolonged and continued right till the time of Hijrah. And even after Hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still continued facing difficulties, whether from the kuffar of Makkah Mukarrama, whether from the Jews of Medina Munawwara. And this suffering and difficulties continued right until death. But what was the response of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared you being totally ma'soom, that all your errors are forgiven, and yet you tirelessly toil in the ibadat and in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until your mubarak feet swell up. So what was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبَدًا شَكُورًا, that shouldn't I be a grateful servant unto my Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That despite all the difficulties that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced and was experiencing, yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't focus to the difficulties and hardships of life. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the bounties and favors that he enjoyed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was what motivated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and prompted him to express that shukr, to tirelessly toil in ibadat, to put himself and exert himself in those long hours of tahajjud, standing up for hours, making ruku for hours, making sajda for hours. So this lesson of shukr is something that we really need to instill within our lives. And again, when we look at the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the various du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite throughout the day, from morning till evening, from the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up till the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to sleep, every du'a, or most of the du'as, are filled with the lesson of shukr. That the du'a upon awakening, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. Starting off the day with shukr, where we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, when exiting and coming out of the toilet, ghufranak alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anni al-adha. Again, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing that filth and that waste to come out of the body. Then again, after eating and partaking of that meal, alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And throughout the day, the various moments of, or the various occasions that a person experiences throughout the day. So the du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us are filled with the lesson of shukr. Again, when going off to bed, another du'a of going to sleep, that alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa kafana wa awana fa kam mimman la kafiyala wa la mu'wiyala. That again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the du'a of shukr, that oh Allah, all praise belongs to you, that throughout the day you granted me something to eat, something to drink, at night now you have granted me shelter. فَكَمْ مِمَّنْ لَا كَافِيَ لَهُ وَلَا مُؤْوِيَ لَهُ. That oh Allah, there are so many out there in the world, we have nobody to take care of them, nobody to grant them any shelter, and here I am going to rest, I am going to bed so comfortably, with such ease, with such comfort, that there is no need for me to ever complain, to ever utter a word of complaint. So these lessons of shukr are extremely important. And how important, then this can be understood again from a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That as Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, in one hadith has explained, that one of the most frequently recited du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the fard salah, which we also commonly hear from the a'imma after the fard salah, that Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. That oh Allah, assist me and aid me. In what? Ala dhikrik, in remembering you, O Allah. Wa shukrik, and to make shukr unto you, O Allah. That oh Allah, if it is not with your assistance, if it is not with your tawfiq, then I will not be granted that opportunity of expressing gratitude and shukr unto you. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being of such a high level of gratitude and shukr, yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found the need of continuously begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be granted that tawfiq and the ability of expressing that shukr and yet the gratitude unto him. And then when we look at the lives of the various sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and the tabi'een and those that followed thereafter, then their lives were also filled with shukr, with gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they left great lessons from their lives of shukr and gratitude. That there was a person in the past, Abu Qilaba. And the person narrating this incident, Abdullah bin Muhammad, rahimahullah. So he was from amongst the tabi'een or the tabi' tabi'een. And Imam Auza'i, rahimahullah, he narrates this incident and he explains that Abdullah bin Muhammad rahimahullah, he explains that he was given the responsibility of going to the borders of the Islamic countries to go and carry out work of security, of protection, patrolling, etc., what they refer to as ribat. So he says that when he went to his post, so as he was approaching the place where he was to be posted to, so he found that there was a tent in a distance. And as he approached the tent, he found that there was a person whose both hands and both feet were amputated. So basically he was someone who was totally challenged, that he couldn't see to his own needs. And over and above that, this person was hard of hearing and he was almost blind, he was semi-blind. And as this person, Abdullah bin Muhammad, comes close to him, so he hears this person who was so challenged, yet the dua that was emanating from his mouth was, Allahumma awzi'ni, that, O Allah, grant me the tawfiq, that I make shukr unto you, and such shukr, shukran ukafi'u bihi ni'mataka alayya, that such shukr I need to be making to you, O Allah, which will be able to compensate and cover up for the bounties that I enjoy from you. So this person, Abdullah bin Muhammad, he was totally amazed that now look at this person, he has no hands, no feet, he is hard of hearing, he is semi-blind, and yet he is making a dua, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq of shukr. So then he made up this niyat within his mind, that if there is anybody to assist and to help, then definitely it would be this person. So he approaches this person, he makes salam to him, and he tells him that, O servant of Allah, Ya Abdullah, that tell me that I am totally amazed at what I am witnessing, that you can hardly see, you can hardly barely hear, and you have no ability to see to your own needs, yet you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with the tawfiq of making shukr. And further in his dua, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفَضَّلْتَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْتَ تَفْضِيلًا, that, O Allah, you have granted me superiority in many aspects over many of your servants and your creation. So he says that, O servant of Allah, I am extremely amazed at this dua of you, that what is there for you to make shukr for, that you have every reason to complain unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he responded and said that, hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with a tongue in order to remember him, and with a heart to be focused towards him? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me this tongue to engage in his dhikr, and he has granted me that heart and the tawfiq of being focused to him, isn't this something for me to be grateful and to express shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? So then this person, Abdullah bin Muhammad, asked him that, now do you have any need that I can assist you in? So he replied and said that, yes, I have one need, that my son normally tends to my needs, he feeds me, he clothes me, he cleans me up, but for some time, for a few days, my son hasn't come to me. So why don't you go out in search of him and come and inform me of what you find? So this person, Abdullah bin Muhammad rahimahullah, he explains and he says that, I went out and I came to a place that was like a wilderness area. And then I found that there was a young boy who seemed to have been attacked by some predatory animal and his body was devoured. And I realized that this was the son of this person here that I had been speaking to. So this Abdullah bin Muhammad rahimahullah says that, automatically I was deeply affected, that now how can I go back to this person and break the news that this is the condition that I have found your son in, that this person is suffering so much as it is, and now his only support, his son, has also been devoured in such a way by some predatory animal. So he says that, first I had to pluck up the courage, build up the determination within myself to break the news unto him. So he says, I came back to this person, and then I first began asking him questions regarding Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, because Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam was that Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had been put through many trials in life. So he began asking this person that, tell me, what do you know about Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, and what trials and difficulties did he undergo, and how did he respond to these trials and difficulties? that with the loss of his children, with the loss of his wealth, with him being thrown out of his town, etc. And this person began very calmly responding that he was very patient throughout these trials and these difficulties that he underwent. And then this person, Abdullah bin Muhammad, says that after receiving this response from this person, I then plucked up the courage to break the news to him that this is the condition that I have found your son in. So he says, I plucked up the courage, and then I explained to him that I found your son in this condition, that some predatory animal had devoured him and he is no more. So he says, to his utter amazement and shock, this person began praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, he was even more amazed and shocked that here normally a person will break down sobbing and crying, and here this person's response is a response of shukr and gratitude. So he says, in my amazement, I asked him that now people in your condition will be sobbing and crying, and you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that yes, this is a reason for me to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my son had been saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from living a life of disobedience. And before living a life of disobedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken his life. So he lived a life of total obedience unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shouldn't I be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having been blessed with such a son that lived a life of total obedience and conformity to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he let out a shriek and he passed away. And not long thereafter, a few riders came past and they saw this Abdullah bin Muhammad rahimahullah had this person lay down and he had covered him. So Abdullah bin Muhammad rahimahullah made salam to these people, welcomed them. And then they asked him that what has happened to this person. So he explained to them whatever had transpired, and then they removed the cloth from this person's face, they kissed his forehead, and then they also made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah bin Muhammad rahimahullah until then didn't know who this person was. So then he asked these people that who is this person that you are showing such reverence, such honor and such respect to. So they replied and said that this is one of the great awliya of the time, Abu Qilaba rahimahullah. And we are showing this respect to him because of his piety and because of his sabr and his perseverance throughout the difficulties and hardships that he went through throughout his life. But the great lesson that this person Abu Qilaba left for us was that there is no occasion in life that a person cannot look at it from an angle of shukr, from an angle of gratitude. That despite it being an occasion of difficulty and hardship, but if a person just looks at it with the lens of shukr, with the lens of gratitude, then definitely there would be some reason or the other to be grateful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with. And then together with that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although time has run out, there's so many other aspects regarding shukr that we could be discussing. But one important lesson that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in his Mubarak Ahadith, that one is shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together with that, shukr is required to all those that have been kind to us, that have been our benefactors in some way or the other. The greatest of them being our parents. That whatever they may be, from whatever background they may be, but after all, they are our parents. Whether that father is a drunkard, whether the mother is a loose woman, but as parents, we owe them all our lives, whatever we can do for them, whatever manner we can express our shukr and gratitude unto them. It is the duty of every child to be grateful and devoted to the service of his parents. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has explained that that person who cannot show shukr to people, then he cannot show shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it starts off within our own homes. That be grateful to our parents, be grateful to our spouses, to our wives, for whatever they have done. Though they may be having weaknesses within them, but again, turn a blind eye to the weaknesses and to whatever deficiencies they may be having. but look at the good, to the good that we enjoy from them. And together with that, make it a habit of making shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but reminding our children as well, that many a times we fail to remind them that whatever they enjoy, it is not just from us, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just made us as parents the means of granting them whatever they enjoy in life. And if we will instill the great lessons of shukr within our children, then they will find great value within their own lives. They wouldn't have any reason to complain of whatever hardships or difficulties they are also enduring and going through in life. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses each one of us with the tawfiq of making shukr unto Him and being grateful to all those that have been great, that have been kind and compassionate to us in whatever form it may be, it may have been. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.